The Michael Duke Show.
I have two guns, one for each of you.
Firearms Friday.
As Thomas Jefferson stated, it is the right and duty of the people to be at all times armed.
Say hello to my little friend!
I say that the Second Amendment is, in order of importance, the First Amendment. The right to keep and bear arms is the one right that allows rights to exist at all.
The Michael Duke Show.
The right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Firearms.
From my cold, dead hands.
Friday.
Here's my rifle, where's my gun?
This is for fighting, it's for fun.
Firearms Friday.
Apparently you're not adult enough, they're not citizen enough. I don't know what it is, but basically what's happening is they have been unable to do it. Now, they could buy long guns and everything else, but I always found it ironic that you could draft 18-year-olds, you could put 18-year-olds in the military, you could, you know, make them stand as adults for crimes or anything else, hold them responsible, yet for some reason, that magical 2 years between 18 and 20 made them ineligible to be able to benefit from the Second Amendment. And I found that I found it irritating, not just ironic, but irritating. I mean, I have met many 25 and 28 and sometimes 30-year-olds who are more immature than many people that I've known and worked with who were 18 to 20 years old. So I don't know as the age has anything necessarily to do with it. And it seems like the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals agrees with me. The Tanya Hirschfield and Natalia Marshall had challenged the constitutionality of federal laws banning those who were 18 to 20 to be able to purchase them. Those restrictions, by the way, have been on the books since 1968, the Gun Control Act of 1968. The judges of the Fourth Circuit, in a 2-1 decision, saw no particular reason why that age group of adults should lack the same Second Amendment rights possessed by those who were 21 and over. They said, and I quote from the decision, "Our nation's most cherished constitutional rights vest no later than 18, and the Second Amendment's right to keep and bear arms is no different. Individuals over the age of 18 enjoy almost every other constitutional right, and they were required at the time of founding to serve in the militia and furnish their own weapons." The lower court that first heard the case did not think the laws should fall under the Second Amendment, which led to this appeal. The Fourth Circuit explained that the lower court held that the laws were facially valid because they are among the longstanding prohibitions and conditions and qualifications that are laid out there by Heller. The court also found that the laws fell outside the scope of the Second Amendment because similar regulations were historically common among... Wait a minute. They what? The court found that the law fell outside the scope of the Second Amendment because similar regulations were historically common among the... You're saying that because the law had existed and had been on the books for years, even though it may not have been enforced properly, it's now okay to avoid the Second Amendment? It falls outside the Second Amendment? The Fourth Circuit disagreed. They said that holding that the burden of being unable to buy from a licensed dealer struck at the core of the plaintiff's Second Amendment rights. Other options are not always readily available to many individuals, talking about to be able to defend themselves. Not all young adults have friends or family who are able or willing to gift them a gun. Because, see, that's the loophole. You can own a handgun when you're 18. But you just can't go purchase a handgun when you're 18. You have to find... Are they encouraging straw purchasing? I'm asking for a friend, right? So I don't care if it's your mom or your dad or your best friend. Hey, buy me a gun. Well, that's a straw purchase. That's illegal, right? But that's what they're winking and nodding and saying. Oh, you're 18. You don't need that. Well, go ahead. You know, it's fine. Don't, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So they said not all young adults have friends or family members who are able or willing to gift them a gun, and secondary markets are not always available to everyone or easy to navigate safely, i.e. the black market, right? That's what they'd love to call it. Meanwhile, licensed dealers come with assurances of quality, safety, legality, and more. These laws push young adults and law-abiding adults to less safe, less regulated markets to defend themselves. Now, the most interesting part of this, of course, is that this Fourth Circuit Court opinion flies directly in the face of the previous Fifth Circuit Court opinion that said, no, you can't have it between 18 and 20. You're not, that does not apply to you. And that is going to be a problem. The Fourth Circuit, again, reached the opposite conclusion reached by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, which did not recognize the Second Amendment rights for 18 to 20-year-olds in National Rifle Association versus BATF and E. James Wynn, who was the one dissenting vote in the Fourth Circuit Court ruling from yesterday, had argued that the Second Amendment is decidedly different from other constitutional rights. Wow. Because it is singularly capable of causing harm. As other courts have recognized, there are dangers inherent in all other constitutional protected rights, like speech and assembly, but the Second Amendment alone protects a direct and lethal right to endanger others and oneself. Wow. On top of that, not only do you not have the battle between the Fourth and the Fifth, the Ninth Circus, Circuit Court of Appeals is in the process of considering a case which is Jones versus Bonka, which is on the same issue applying it to California law. Similar Minnesota laws affecting gun rights are also currently under legal challenge. So this is going on across the state. The good news is this, if this becomes the circuit split that we're talking about between the Fourth and Fifth, maybe the Ninth Court weighs in, the third, this issue may catch the attention of the Supreme Court, which recently agreed to hear another Second Amendment case. We talked about that here a couple of weeks ago, but they've been avoiding gun rights cases for years. And now is the time, more than any time else, to be able to dive into this, because we've got a court that I think is more favorable to protecting our freedoms and Second Amendment rights than anything else. So we're going to be watching this real closely, but this is good news, folks. Absolutely great news for those who have been following this on the Legal Beagle aspect of everything, because this means we, those 18 to 20-year-olds are not being denied their Second Amendment rights anymore, which I, again, think is a fantastic and a good thing. All right. Again, we are broadcasting live this morning down from Ammo Can Coffee in Soldotna. You can hear the whooshing and the hushing in the background. I love that as I drink my coconut brevi 2 scoops mochaccino latte. Oh, it is delicious. Come on down and see us. We'll be here all morning and hanging out with you guys. We're going to be talking in just a moment with Dr. John Lott, who is, again, the author of the book More Guns, Less Crime, and the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. He's going to be joining us in just a few minutes to talk about his depth. Did you hear about this? Did you hear about this story? So Dr. Lott was invited to speak at a commencement address and come in and talk about the Second Amendment and other things. Well, it turned out that the school that he was invited to was fake. The school had been created on paper. It had been had websites put up. They'd done all this stuff. And it was put together by a couple of parents who had a child die at Parkland, who are now feverishly anti-gun. And they created this whole fake thing, got Dr. Lott to drive 1,000 miles across country to come to this commencement address, talked him into doing a quote-unquote dress rehearsal for the event, and then recorded his dress rehearsal in front of like 3,000 empty chairs, and then edited his 15-minute speech down to 90 seconds, which they then used to obviously beat the hell out of him by taking everything that he said. Oh, after they talked him into talking about background checks in the Second Amendment, which hadn't been the initial thrust of his speech. They said, oh, no, these kids can handle it. This is a conservative school, yada, yada. And it was all a ploy. And when they were confronted about that by the mainstream media, which only really one or two of them did, the mainstream media said, or the two parents who put this whole sham on said, oh, well, he should have background checked us a little more. They should have checked it. It's his fault, not our fault. It's his fault. So we're going to talk with Dr. Lott about that debacle and more. It is the Michael Duke Show, broadcasting live across the state of Alaska on this, your favorite radio station and or translator. And around the world at MichaelDukeShow.com on the interwebs. We're broadcasting and streaming live this morning from Ammo Can Coffee in Soldotna. Stop by and say hi. We got more coming up. Don't go anywhere. We will return with more common sense, liberty-based, free-thinking radio in just a moment. Dr. John Lott is going to be our guest up next, and we will continue with him right after these messages. Don't go anywhere.
broadcasting live through a series of tubes.
Allowing all of these entities to provide streaming stuff going on the internet.
Well, it's kind of hard to explain. Sorry. Streaming live every weekday morning on Facebook Live and MichaelDukesShow.com.
All right. So, hi, guys. How's everybody in here? Everybody doing good? All right, good. We got folks in here, and we got folks online. Let me see what's going on here. I usually work when I'm doing this show. I usually have like four computer screens in front of me. I've condensed it all down to one laptop screen, which is overlapping windows from hell is what it is. So let me see where it is. Okay, good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning from Kodiak. Very choppy. Yeah, I'm sorry. My internet connection here. I have two separate internet connections, one for the radio and one for the Facebook broadcast. And unfortunately, the interior Wi-Fi here is not super fast, so it's probably going to be a little choppy. Feel free to mute your Facebook feed and then load the streaming feed because the stream is running in the background as well. I mean, I've only got about 400 things running on one internet connection, so what could possibly go wrong? I see Ben Carpenter's over here as well. I got Tuckerman Babcock and along with his lovely bride here as well. And we're just hanging out this morning. Good morning. Morning again. She restarted. Better with fewer breakups. Yeah, so if you want to reconnect and try that, you can try that. I can't even see the actual stream itself, which I normally can. But I have like a gigabyte connection in my studio, so this is a little bit different than what you normally get out here. Oh, man, that sun is going to kill me, too. See where we're at here. Trying to, let's see. I've only got 43 things going on. All right, 2 minutes left right now before we, oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, Mayor Charlie Pierce is in the house here this morning as we get ready to go. We're in the middle of a commercial break right now. I suppose I should actually call my guest. Good morning, my friend. How are you doing? Yeah, good to see you. Good to see you. All right, well, let's get Dr. John Lott on the program here. And see if we can get him dialed up this morning and get things ready to go. Here we go. Boom. Right there.
John Lott.
Good morning, Dr. Lott. Michael Dukes calling.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Okay, good. Well, we're about 2 minutes here from rejoining the radio. We're broadcasting on Facebook Live and hanging out, getting ready to go. And I'm excited to talk to you. I like I said, you've
been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while, and you've been on my mind ever since I caught that Wall Street Journal about the fake school and everything else. So we got a lot to talk about here in the next 35 minutes or so. So.
All right.
I just wanted to get you on hold here, and I'll put you back off to the side here while I double check everything else to make sure everything's going well. All right, folks, please like and share this video. I know it's not as good as the first video, but it's better than the last one. So there you go. Like and share. Don't forget to like and follow the show page as well. Oh, look, that one person stopped following the show page, so I'm back to 3,299 followers. That's just sad. I can't seem to break that 3,300 mark. Well, like and follow the show page as well, if you would. Here we go, jumping back into it, the Michael Dukes Show. Common sense, liberty-based, free-thinking radio. Right. We are continuing ahead right now with Firearms Friday, discussions of a Second Amendment nature. Broadcasting live, we're remotely broadcasting this morning from Ammo Can Coffee in Soldotna. Our first roadshow edition of this show it's been 10 or 12 years since I've actually broadcast a show live in front of a bunch of people out in the world. No, I couldn't ask for a better day or a more perfect time. Our guest today, Dr. John Lott. He is the author of More Guns, Less Crime, The War on Guns, and so much more. He is also the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, and you can find that at crimeresearch.org. And he comes on board with us today to talk about guns and so much more. He joins us right now on the program. Good morning, Dr. Lott. How are you doing?
Doing great. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, been quite a long time. You've been through the ringer here in the last few months over all kinds of stuff. I know that you recently appeared on CNN talking about gun violence, and of course, as gun violence spikes, the anti-gun crowd wants to come out, and it seems like wants to try and make hay out of it. But you demystified some of that. So let's talk about that before we get to the whole faux school thing.
Sure. I don't think there's much question really about why violence has gone up over the last year. President Biden wants to make it appear as it's solely an issue of guns in some way. But one of the things I don't think most people realize is that about 92% of violent crime does not involve a gun. And that's been pretty much a constant percentage for decades. But look, it doesn't take rocket scientists to know that if you let inmates out of jail, in many urban areas, over half the inmates have been released from jail. If you order the police to stand down or you cut their budgets, New York City, for example, cut police budget by about $1 billion.
Right.
Or if you have prosecutors in these major urban areas who are refusing to prosecute violent criminals, it's not risky for criminals to go and commit crime. And, and what's the risk of them going and doing it? So you're going to have more crime that's going to be occurring. I mean, you take a place like Chicago. About a year ago, Chicago's murder rate, or the arrest rate for murders, was about 20%. Presumably, it's fallen since then. And gang murders result in arrests at a lower rate than average murders do. And if you have a prosecutor who's not prosecuting everybody, you may be talking about a conviction rate and people going to prison at not much different than 10%. So is it really surprising that they have a lot of murders that are occurring involving drug gangs in Chicago?
Right, exactly. Well, and that's the big thing. I mean, I had to laugh. I think it was right after Minnesota, Minneapolis, they had been at the forefront of the defund the police movement, and they actually got some internal legislation passed in the city. And then it wasn't 5 or 6 months later, they came back and were trying to call the police chief or commissioner on the carpet and saying, why is crime spiking? And it's like, there's a straight line between the two, but there's a disconnect there.
Well, one of the other bizarre things in Minneapolis was at the same time they were voting to defund the police, the city council members voted vouchers, $5,000 vouchers per week for each city council member who wanted it to go and hire private security for themselves. So, they obviously understood the benefits of having somebody with a gun go and defend them. But
right.
What was, it's not like they were offering vouchers for businessmen in the community or, just poor people who were being victims of violent crime. It'd be nice if they were held accountable for those types of actions, but it's just, hypocrisy. They kind of understand, and you have numerous situations where, not just what you're saying, but politicians who supported defunding the police have a crime committed against them, and then they call up the police and they complain that they weren't there quickly to protect them.
Right. Well, we saw that a lot during the pandemic. I mean, we saw some of the Twitter feeds of some of the most liberal anti-gun folks are like, I can't remember the guy's name, but when he's like, I called the police and they said, you're on your own, buddy. He was just shocked that would happen. How could that possibly? And this seems to be there's no atheist in a foxhole. That was one of the reasons why we saw such a jump in gun ownership during the pandemic and the post-George Floyd riots, right?
Look, I mean, we're in a weird world where you have a lot of politicians who want to make it difficult for the police to be able to go and do their job. And at the same time, they want to make it costly and difficult for law-abiding citizens to be able to go and defend themselves and their families. The Biden administration is pushing one type of regulation after another that I don't think most people appreciate. How costly will make it for them to be able to go and buy guns? You know, take just his discussion about rogue gun dealers. You know, nobody wants a dealer selling guns illegally out of the back of the store to criminals. But that's not what they're talking about here, really. Not even anything remotely close to it. What they're talking about with the zero tolerance policy is that if somebody makes even the most trivial mistake on the forms for selling the guns, these 4473s, you know, put down a city name in the county box that they have there,
right?
They will face the corporate death penalty. There's a zero tolerance policy. So if you sell 1,000 guns over 10 years, they're going to be going back over all those forms to see whether or not a date was written in legibly, or whether you know, a number might have been misplaced, or something else might be wrong on the form, and you know, nothing to do with the types of discussions that Biden was having on this type of thing, and they're just going to put gun sellers out of business and make it more difficult for people to go and buy guns. And of course, this is just part of a series of actions that they're taking. You know, you even take the types of rules that they want to have, like these stabilizing braces that they want to go and classify as machine guns, essentially.
Right.
People don't even, there's no discussion about the fact that these stabilizing braces were developed for veterans who had been injured severely in war, where they may have lost part of their hand. The whole point of a stabilizing brace is a strap that fits to the gun and wraps around your arm. So somebody who may be missing part of their hand or may have a crippled arm is able to go and use a gun for self-defense. You know, has there been a spurt of gun crimes by disabled people that's going on around the country? And no discussion about what these individuals are supposed to do to be able to go and defend themselves otherwise.
Right.
You know, they want to go and classify AR-15s and maybe all semi-automatic rifles as assault weapons. They're not clear. They refuse to say exactly what they want to do. I mean, this whole battle with David Shipman to be director of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms.
Right.
You know, so that would essentially mean everybody who owns a rifle, it's not clear whether they're going to retroactively do it or just do it prospectively. But if you own a semi-automatic rifle, if you want to buy it, that's a $250 fee and a long approval process that right now takes about 9 months to be able to go and get approved.
Right. We went through that whole thing with Chipman. I mean, it was an interesting. I mean, he was asked four separate times what the definition of an assault rifle was, and he wouldn't say, said it's Congress's. Congressman said, well, I'm a congressman, and I'm asking you, how would you help me define it? And then he finally did this really hugely broad definition that would have included everything from little tiny Ruger 10/22s up to, you know, your grandfather's a semi-automatic a deer hunting rifle to AR-15s. It would have been included pretty much everything in the world, and then they were like, but I can't really say. I mean, that's the thing. They try to make it amorphous so they can fold it into their definition later, and you know, it seems like it's a gotcha.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, take something. It seems innocuous, like these background checks on private transfers of guns. I mean, everybody wants to try to stop dangerous people from getting guns. But, you know, when the president goes and says there have been 3 million prohibited people that have been stopped from buying guns because of background checks, that's simply a lie. What he should say is that there have been 3.5 million initial denials. And about 99% of those are mistakes. It's one thing to stop a felon from buying a gun. It's another thing to stop somebody simply because they have a name similar to a felon from buying a gun. And it's overwhelmingly Hispanic males and black males that have these mistakes being committed against them. There's no reason in the world you should have a background check system that's stopping 3.5 million law-abiding citizens who want to be able to go and get a gun to be able to protect themselves and their families through mistakes. And it's a simple way to fix it. All you have to do is have the federal government meet the same. You and I have talked about this before. All you have to do is have the federal government meet the same standards for doing background checks that private companies have to meet.
Right.
But Democrats will fight you tooth and nail on that. You know, it's just they seem to view it as a positive feature of the system. I have yet to have anybody tell me a logical, justifiable reason for why you want to have a system that stops 3.5 million law-abiding citizens and property. Now, you can appeal, but the vast majority of people are going to have to hire a lawyer to help them with that. And you're talking about legal fees that start at $3,000. Why should a poor person who wants to get a gun to protect themselves and their family have to be stuck with a legal fee starting at $3,000 to be able to go and get a gun to protect themselves and their families? I'm skeptical that these background checks make any difference in crime, but if people feel better, fine. But at least fix these problems with it.
Right.
If you live in Washington, D.C., where they are voting on this stuff, and the House has already passed this, it costs $125 to go and privately transfer a gun. Michael, let's say you and I lived in D.C., and I'm going to go and give you 4 guns. You would think it's just John giving Michael 4 guns, just one person getting the guns.
Right.
It should be one background check.
Right.
But no. They require that you have to have a separate background check on each gun, even though it's the same person getting all of them.
Right.
So it costs $500 for me to transfer the guns. Explain to me how that isn't purposely set up just to make it as costly as possible for people to go and obtain guns.
Well, and this is the same kind of deceptive practices we've seen for years when it comes to the anti-gun crowd. I mean, you were just, again, talking about this bogus number of 3,000 background checks, when actually only it's a small fraction of that. You know, we've seen the same thing when they talk about gun deaths. They include all the suicide numbers. And, of course, now your latest little debacle has shown the deceptive practices of them now trying to lure people in and giving them a gotcha moment. We're going to talk about that here in just a hot second. Dr. John Lott is our guest. We're going to continue with him here in a moment. You're going to hear about this faux school that he was invited to come speak at. We're going to get the full story from him. And, it's truly unbelievable to me what happened here. And then the reaction from the folks who perpetrated it. We'll continue with more here. Don't go anywhere. The Michael Duke Show continues. You're home for common sense, liberty-based, free-thinking radio.
Now you're cooking with gas.
The Michael Duke Show.
Common sense.
All right, we're in the break right now. Dr. John Lott is our guest. We've got a bunch of folks here in the coffee shop here as we're broadcasting live as well, which is kind of fun and exciting as well. Thanks for tuning in and joining us on Facebook. Don't forget to like and share the video and don't forget to like and follow the show page this morning as well. Dr. Lott, I mean, this is a repetitive thing over and over and over again. We see it all the time, this deception, and we're going to talk about the school deception here in a second. But you and I have talked about this, making it as hard as possible, making it as expensive as possible, using the full death numbers, including the suicides for gun death numbers, blowing things out of proportion. This is just like right out of it appears to be some kind of playbook somewhere. And as much as you try and shout from the rooftops to fix it, it seems like they just keep coming back twice as hard.
Well, I was just working in the Department of Justice, and at the end of the Trump administration, and I have to tell you, my worst fears about kind of the deep state and the government was confirmed when I was working there. Yeah, I deal with data. My appointment was senior advisor for research and statistics. And the FBI, you know, you kind of wonder, how is it that you can have the FBI go and spy on the political campaign of an opposing party?
Right.
Without having whistleblowers or without having some type of leaks about it going on. And the reason is pretty simple, and that is everybody that was involved had the same political views, not just the people who were the political appointees at the top, but
right.
all the staff that was involved. And the thing is, I can't make a statement about the FBI broadly, but what I can say is that the same thing is true for the data people at the FBI. They would fight tooth and nail against letting data out. When I went there, one of the things I wanted to do is to get the exact breakdown for the mistakes in the background check system by race and gender. When we first asked for that, I'd gotten the Bureau of Justice Statistics to go and ask for the data, which is their job. The FBI refused. They said that nobody's interested in knowing the racial breakdown and gender breakdown of these mistakes. You know, and the response is, you guys break down everything by race and gender. What's the problem
right.
with this? And I think it's just that politically they were worried that it was going to not, you know, look good for one of the programs that liberals like so much.
Right. Doesn't line up with their narrative. Right.
And so anyway, we tried to argue with them for a while, and then they just went quiet. You know, they refused to answer the emails and stuff that were being sent to them. And then about a month later, 2 days after the election, they get back to us and they say, okay, you're going to have to fill out a FOIA request. Even if you get the FOIA request filled out and in today, there's no way we're going to be able to get this data done before January 20th. And we're completely sure that the Biden administration is not going to be interested in looking at this type of data. So there's really no reason for you to even try to file a FOIA request. This is one part of the Department of Justice going and asking whose job it is to go and ask another part of the Department of Justice for data, whose job it is to provide it
right.
To them for a Freedom of Information Act request. So your audience knows, a FOIA request is something that reporters on the outside
right.
have to go and fill out.
The public,
this isn't
right?
something that's normally done there. I mean, I could go through. There's a long story there about fighting to go and get the data. Finally, after kind of intervention at numerous levels, the FBI grudgingly agreed to go and get the data. The problem is, these guys aren't stupid. Even when they're forced to go and provide the data, they did what they could to sabotage it. They would go and give us data. We'd look at it. We'd realize that the things didn't add up. There must be some mistakes with it. They'd apologize, saying, oh, sorry, we're going to go and tell you that there were mistakes with the data. We'll fix it. They'll get back to you in a week or 10 days and then say, and then you realize that there's still problems with it.
Right.
They'd say, oh, we're really sorry. We'll fix it. They take another week or 10 days. And that kept on going on until after January 20th.
Right.
When they were able to just kill it because nobody was there, you know, pressing to go and ask for the data.
Yeah. All right. Well, hold on, Dr. John Lott. This is, that's got to be the ultimate of frustration. One part of the Department of Justice forcing the other part of the Department of Justice to file a FOIA request for information interdepartmentally. I mean, it's the definition of insanity, but that's kind of where we're at right now. Dr. John Lott is our guest, author of More Guns, Less Crime, president of Crime Prevention Research Center. We're going to jump back into it. Here we go, the Michael Duke Show, Common Sense Radio. All right, we're continuing now. Dr. John Lott is our guest. He is the author, he's a statistician, he's the author of More Guns, Less Crime, The War on Guns, and more. He's become one of the most outspoken defenders of the Second Amendment. When he started off just, you know, doing it kind of as a, it was just a job, like a statistical thing where he was like, I really want to see what the numbers are. And he became an advocate. He's also the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. You can find them at crimeresearch.org. About a month and a half ago, he was invited to speak at a school to give a commencement address, which he's done numerous times before. But this one turned out a little different. Dr. Locke, can you give us the full rundown here on what happened?
Sure. So back on May 14th, I got a call from a guy who identified himself as chairman of the board for a large online high school. He said there were like 2,000 graduating students, and he wanted to know if I'd be willing to be the keynote speaker for the commencement. And, you know, I looked him up online. They had a nice, very nice website, pictures of smiling students and, you know, detailed discussion about the school. And I said, you know, sure, I'm happy to go and do it. It's an honor to do it. And we were set up for June 5th. And then just a few days before the event, they told me that I had to go and speak about background checks. And the school's name was James Madison Academy. And so they wanted me to say something about Madison being involved with the Second Amendment. And I said, you know, I am uncomfortable doing that because you know, it doesn't seem to me appropriate to go and talk about political type of issues at a commencement address. It's always been a pet peeve of mine that people will get into that when they have a captive audience. You want something that's going to leave everybody happy and, you know, satisfied when they leave. You don't want people being angry about having to sit through something like that. And the guy was telling me, look, they've spent a lot of time studying the Bill of Rights during their senior year. The students explicitly wanted me because they wanted somebody to go and talk about the background checks. And so finally, I agreed to do it. At least part of my talk would be on that. And then they changed the date that I was supposed to be there. I've been told the 5th, but they said I had to be there a day early in the morning on the 4th because they wanted to do a dress rehearsal and they wanted to get some film of that to just make sure that the film that they got from the actual commencement, they could mix together to kind of have, you know, the best possible video that they could have. That it was very important for the school that they were going to use it to go and try to, you know, advertise the school to get more students to attend. And I said, you know, that's impossible. I'm supposed to be giving another talk on the evening of June the 3rd. There's no way I'm going to be able to drive down. Originally, I was planning on driving down so I could go and visit some friends in Idaho on my way from Montana to Las Vegas.
Right.
But the guy, I can't tell you how many times he pleaded with me how important it was, you know, that they get this video right, how important it was for the students and stuff that they could go and do this. And so finally I said, you know, he just said, you know, please help out the school. It would mean so much to the school to do it. And I said, look, you know, I'll give it a try, but it's a 13-hour drive from Montana, you know, and it ended up being over 17 hours because the highway 93 that I was going down on ended up being closed because of some big accident. And so I had to double back and take an alternative route.
Right.
I mean, it was a mess. And anyway, but I can't tell you how many times they pleading with me, you know, you got to get there early. They have this big staff that's there. The later I am, the more it's going to cost the school.
Right.
And so I basically drove through the night to get there. I have to tell you, at 63, It's not like I'm in my 20s and driving 17 hours like that, even with a break, brief break in the middle, was a bit much. I was worried about falling asleep and stuff when I was driving. Anyway, I get down there early in the afternoon on the 4th, and they take me over to the event. It's a huge setup, like 20 staffers. Multiple big TV cameras in front of the dais, big banners for the school. I give my dress rehearsal talk there, go back to the hotel, basically crash. And the next morning I get a call saying that they've had to cancel the event. The police have gotten what they call a credible threat of violence. Apparently, implications were that it was directed against my speech. So I felt horrible. I mean, here you had thousands of people coming from around the country for this commencement and having it canceled at the last moment like that. But they were going to get back to me. They asked me not to say anything to anybody because the police had asked them not to talk about it because, they're closing in and thought they had a good chance of arresting the person. So I said, okay. Anyway, a couple weeks later, I start getting these calls from the media saying that this group had released a video. They had selectively edited what I had said. They'd taken this 15-minute talk and kind of compressed my portion down to a minute and really misleadingly cut it up. They made it look like I was arguing against background checks and that I was complaining that the gun control groups would fight you tooth and nail against getting rid of background checks. And I hadn't said anything even close. I mean, even just the discussion we had earlier about background checks and you and I have had before, I've said, look, they're reasonable, simple fixes for these background checks. Everybody wants to stop criminals from getting guns. I don't think this is going to be particularly effective, but if it makes you feel good, fine, do it. But fix these simple things. And what I said was that gun control advocates will fight you tooth and nail against these reasonable fixes.
Right.
Not
right.
just, and they cut out, of course, the reasonable fixes part.
Right.
And but it just amazed me, the media coverage on this. They got massive U.S. and international coverage from India and Spain and the U.K. and Germany and other countries around the world. And, of course, the lead of it was always the numbers that the gun control group put out that had done this big hoax, which God only knows how much money they spent on it. Just one thing, for example, one of the news stories in Adweek that came out said they had hired a top flight advertising firm out of Chicago, and the advertising firm out of Chicago said they had spent months having their full staff work on coming up with an idea that they could go and use for this. So God only knows how much money they spent just on the advertising firm coming up with this idea.
Well,
and then having to fly people into Las Vegas and put them up for multiple days.
Oh, yeah. But, well, and then the insult to injury, we're down to the last 2 minutes here, but insult to injury when, you were like, hey, this is, not, and their answer was, oh, well, you should have checked us out more.
Yeah, you should have done a more thorough background check. You check the website. You've given hundreds of talks like this over the years. And, this is the first time I've ever had anything even remotely similar to this happen. And, I don't know what they want you to do in terms of doing the check. But the really bad thing was just the media coverage.
Right.
The media just unquestioningly took their side on this stuff.
Right.
I mean, the vast majority of the media didn't even call me up. This number, like they have the 3,044 high school seniors who died because of gun violence. You can look up the numbers. I put out a piece that's up on our website. If you go to the Centers for Disease Control, you get a number that's like 500.
Right.
But even that is grossly exaggerated because it assumes everybody who's a high school senior you know, is not in a gang or anything that of age, is actually going to, you know, graduate from high school.
Right.
You take the homicide number rather than murder, so you're including justifiable homicide in it. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Right.
The numbers that are there. But even when I would go and warn the media about it, nobody really would go in these news stories and even raise a question about it. And when I said, look, they selectively edited what I did to deceptively get that across to people, the best some of the news reports would do would say, well, lots say it's deceptively edited. The gun control group says it's completely accurate. And my response to them was, it shouldn't be a he said, he said. Ask them to release the video.
Which, of course,
and you'll see who's being accurate on this. But they, of course, refuse to release the video.
Of course they do. Dr. John Lott, author, statistician, crimeresearch.org. Dr. Lott, we're out of time here. I appreciate you coming on board this morning. It's always good to talk with you. We're going to do this again here real quick. Hold the line for me. Folks, we are up against the break, top of the hour. We're broadcasting live from Ammo Can Coffee down here in Soldotna. Come by and see us. Get yourself some beer, curler, coffee. We got more coming up right after this. All right, I wanted to give Dr. Lott one final bite at the apple here because we always feel like we're a little rushed there towards the top of the hour. You know, Dr. Lott, I read this story, and I was just so shocked and amazed, and I'm with you. The one thing I found shocking was not only did the mainstream media and most of these news outlets not really bring you into the equation, not really ask you to discuss these numbers or anything else, it's like they just accepted the fact that, oh, yeah, these guys totally duped him. They totally boondoggled the whole thing, and they put this out, and it must, of course, be true, and that's not shocking at all. And, I mean, I was just blown away by that.
Yeah, well, I just think so much of the media these days, they just look for something that fits their narrative. You know, at some point in the past, if you're going to have a news story, it used to be journalistic ethics that you would go and talk to people on both sides of the issue and present their opinions. But, you know, that's changed now. Most of the media is just happy just interviewing people on one side. I mean, you read articles in the New York Times, and you would think everybody out there agrees with one side of the issue because
right.
they only interview people that support their preconceived notions on different things. You know, it's really disheartening, but it makes a huge impact, I think, on the debate out there.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure at this point what one does to try to offset that.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on to at least talk about it, to get your side of the story. Maybe this little podunk radio show can at least help, you know, lift the fog on some of that stuff. So anyway, Dr. Lott, crimeresearch.org, I really appreciate it. Let's talk here in a couple, 3 weeks, and they'll see you a little bit closer where we're at, okay?
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Dr. Lott. Appreciate it. Dr. John Lott, our guest. The Michael Duke Show, Common Sense, Liberty-based, free-thinking radio. I normally talk to you guys during the break here, but since we got folks here, I'm going to take a quick break, and there'll be some music that'll play, and we'll be right back to you here in about 4 minutes. Don't go anywhere. Common Sense, Liberty-based, free-thinking radio. It's what we do every day, The Michael Duke Show.
Whoa, buddy. Put that thing back in its holster. We haven't gone anywhere.
I don't understand.
Check out themichaeldukesshow.com for information on how to get access to the podcast.
The Michael Duke Show.
I have two guns. One for each of you.
Firearms Friday.
As Thomas Jefferson stated, it is the right and duty of the people to be at all times armed.
To be at all times armed.
Say hello to my little friend!
I say that the Second Amendment is, in order of importance, the First Amendment. The right to keep and bear arms is the one right that allows rights to exist at all.
The right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Not be infringed. Firearms.
From my cold, dead hands.
Friday.
Here's my rifle, here's my gun, this is for the
Firearms Friday, baby. That's what it is right here. The Michael Duke Show, broadcasting live across the state of Alaska on this, your favorite radio station, and or translator, and around the world at MichaelDukeShow.com on the interwebs. Good morning. How are you? Hour two of the big radio program. We just finished up with Dr. John Lott. Having a great discussion there. If you missed it, you can go back and watch it on the replay or listen to it on the podcast. We are broadcasting live this morning from Ammo Can Coffee in Soldotna. I just finished up my coconut frappuccino latte mocha thinga, whatever, double whip, calf, whatever. It was delicious. It was delicious. And I want another one. It was so good. But come on by and see us if you're down in the Soldotna Kenai area. We're going to be here for the next, well, the show will be here for the next hour, and I'll probably be hanging out for another hour or so after that. But we're just having a good time. I've already seen Mayor Charlie Pierce came in this morning. We've got Representative Ben Carpenter. I see Suzanne Downing from Musreet, Alaska is here. Christy Babcock, Tuckerman Babcock. We got Larry down here. We had Jeannie. There's a bunch of folks in here right now. So come on down and join us, and we're going to have a good time as we talk about our, this is my therapy. There should be like a fainting couch here where I'm laying on it talking about, it's like my therapy. Doctor, tell me all about the guns. I really need to relax a little bit. But that's what it's all about on Firearms Friday. Talking about firearms, talking about gun rights, and getting in with you and continuing. Let's dive into this. I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines powered by your friends over there at Pivotel. Pivotel, Satellite West, proud sponsors of the program, which, by the way, just in case you hadn't signed up yet, you should sign up to win a free satellite phone, because my friends over there at Pivotel have provided me with a free satellite phone and a year's worth of service. If you would like to sign up, all you got to do is go to my website at MichaelDukeShow.com and click on the Pivotel banner, or go to MichaelDukeShow.com/Pivotel. I'm trying to make it as easy. I'm trying to give you as many options as possible. So go out there and do that. Get signed up, and we will be drawing for one lucky winner on the 31st. It'll really be the first, because I'm not going to be working on Saturday. But anyway, you can go check it out. Again, MichaelDukeShow.com, and come on down and get signed up to win that free satellite phone. Hi there, ho there, hey there. More people coming in right now. Phone lines right now are open, so we're going to open up that and talk about it. 433-3150, 433-3150, the Pivotel call-in line powered by Satellite West. Dial us up if you want to sound off. I'm going to leave my little window open here so that I can see when the phone calls appear. But we would love to hear from you and see what you guys have to say as well. Don't forget, you can also join us in the chat room, which is available on Facebook, facebook.com/Michael Duke Show. If you come on in there and visit us, we would love to be part of it with you. So come on down and be part of it with us, and of course be able to sound off in the chat room and talk about all the different things that you love to talk about. All right, so we're just finishing up with Dr. John Lott, and the last thing that he and I got a chance to talk about during the commercial break, after the commercial break rather, was that, look, this deceptive practices that we see all the time going on around the gun community, all these deceptive practices. You know, the only way we can combat them is try to bring the truth to this. And this is what Dr. Lott was saying. He goes, I don't know how to, the news media is so oblivious to the fact that, I mean, these people, you know, they deceived me, they lied to me, they told me the police were involved, they told me all these things were going on, and yet the news media just blithely takes their word for it like it's it is what it is, and that's, you know, all there is to it. And I got to tell you, and he said, how do you combat that? That was his comment. He said, how do you fight back against that? And all I could say is we just got to keep throwing the truth against the wall. That's what we got to do. We just got to keep putting the truth out there. And as I said earlier, that was the whole premise behind this component of the show. I mean, I wanted to talk about guns and firearms and everything else because I wanted to demystify the firearm. I wanted to change people's minds. I wanted to show them that there was more than what just the talking heads are saying out there in the news media. I wanted them to see what this was all about and be able to answer questions and, more importantly, demystify the firearm. Because, I mean, let's face it, folks. The news media is not giving you correct information most of the time. And the entertainment industry has done their best to anthropomorphize the firearm into being the boogeyman. It's the problem, right? Not the people that wield it. It's the tool, not the person that uses it. And ignorance breeds fear. That's the thing. Ignorance breeds fear. Well, thank goodness. I mean, you know, the old John Wayne, you know, ignorance is curable, stupidity is forever. Thank God that it's just ignorance. So that's what I strive to do. That's what I started this thing out, to try and demystify it. Because if you're afraid of it and you just don't know, then, you know, you're just going to stay in that fear state. And so I wanted to talk about guns. I wanted to talk about the history of guns and firearms. I wanted to have an outlet for people to call up and ask questions and talk about this stuff. And so hopefully that's what we're going to be. That's what we're doing here on Firearms Friday. If you'd like to drop me an email, the email address is me@michaeldukeshow.com. me@michaeldukeshow.com. If you want to sound off and drop me, and just if you have a question that you want to have answered, feel free to drop me an email and put a Q&A or question in the subject line, and I am more than happy to answer that question for you. Coming up here in just a bit, we're going to be joined by Willie Waffle from WaffleMovies.com. That is the it's like the aperitif after the, you know, you go, you have the dinner, and then you get the little aperitif to kind of be the palate cleanser. That's what it is. It's the palate cleanser for the weekend. We stop being angry about gun rights and all the politics, and we get to hear about the streaming and the entertainment news and what's good at the movies and things like that. That's how we spend the. That's how we spend it there in the last few minutes of the show today. 433-3150, 433-3150. If you would like to, sound off and join us here, we'd love to hear what you guys have to say. Feel free to do that, or again, drop us an email, me@michaeldukeshow.com. I just had my entire screen just went blank. You know, it's one of those things. What are you going to do when you're broadcasting live? And I was telling the folks that were here earlier that normally I've got four screens up in front of me at any given moment when I'm in my studio, four different monitors, and I'm working off of a single laptop monitor right now. So it's a little more claustrophobic than usual. All right, we got one line on hold. Whoops, let me actually make sure that I see that we've got some lines on hold here. But I actually have to, I have been kicked off the phone lines. So give me a second, caller, and I will get myself back on the phone lines, and we will be able to, hang out and do this together. 433-3150, 433-3150. Let me go over, whoops, let me do this. I got to push another button here. So many buttons. There we go. We will try this one more time here to see if we can get a. I'm trying to get back onto the phone system here so that I can. There we go. Right. Okay. Well, I'm gonna have to take a break on that and come back to that here in just a hot minute. So don't go anywhere, callers. We're gonna figure this out here in just a minute. I'm gonna bring you on and we're gonna talk with you to see what you have to say. You could also, again, if you'd like, drop me an email. The email address is me@michaeldukeshow.com, me@michaeldukeshow.com, and we would love to hear what you have to say on any topic that you got. Hey, look, the whole screen came back now. Thank you, Lord, for making it happen. Let me jump back over here to the phones and see if we can get if I can get logged into the phone line, and we will. Oh, hey, look, there we go. Oh man, you gotta love live radio. Coming up next week, we're going to be hopefully diving into it. Wednesday should be an interesting show. I think we're going to have both Mike Schauer and Peter Machicki on the same show. So we'll have the Senate President on in the first hour, and then Mike Schauer on in the second hour. And so we should be able to, we should have a heck of a good time there going through and talking about what's happening with the working group. Hopefully we'll know more as we go through on that as well. 433-3150, 433-3150. I'm going to, this thing is just not cooperating with me this morning. I've got these callers on hold, and by golly, the poor folks just can't hear me. So let me do this. I will put myself into the chat room. How about that? Or onto the phone lines. How about that? 433-3150, and we'll see if we can get everybody on board at the same time here, and we'll conference everybody in, and we'll make it happen. That's what we'll do. We'll make it happen. All right, let's go over here to the phones and see if we can make this thing work. How about that?
John Holden.
Oh, see, I'm already talking to myself in the background here. So here we go. We go over here and we go over here. Good morning,
please,
caller.
Make sure to turn your radio.
Who's this, and where are you calling from?
Listen to the show while you're on hold.
If you are the host, press star now.
Hello.
Otherwise, please wait, and you will be.
All right. So the thing is talking to me here. Just a second. Hello. Are you with us, caller? No, apparently not. All right. So we're going to fix this here in a hot second here, and I'm just going to go to commercial break. So, caller, hold the line. I'm going to put you back on hold. You're going to be first up when we come back on the other side because this thing is just irritating me. So don't go anywhere. Hey, the Michael Duke Show, Common Sense, Liberty-based, free-thinking radio. We'll return with more in just a moment.
We're broadcasting live through a series of tubes,
allowing all of these entities to provide streaming stuff going on the internet.
Well, it's kind of hard to explain. Sorry. Streaming live every weekday morning on Facebook Live and MichaelDukesShow.com.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. We're in the break right now, but obviously we're having some serious internet issues here. I've lost... my stuff is lost connection to just about everything except for the radio stations, which is good because we're still connected to all the radio stations. But the my streamer software is telling me that it keeps disconnecting from Facebook. So if you're watching on Facebook or listening on the stream, so sorry, you're going to have to go back and listen on the podcast, which I'm going to upload later today because it's a thing. So, all right, let me see if I can try this one more time here to get into the phone room. It's a challenge. It is a challenge here. Doesn't look like it wants to talk to the server. Oh, that's it. I'm going to have to get another MiFi. I'm going to have two MiFis, one for the radio, one for the video stream, just so that I can connect to everything because it's just too much overhead for everything else. So let me see what the chat room is saying. If I can still see the chat room. Hey, there you go. Larry. I was going to talk about the AK-101 today. I should talk about the AK-101 today. Larry's over here sending me messages in the chat room while he's in the coffee shop. You're very welcome, Jeannie. Jeannie just says it was good to meet us today, and thank you for the coffee. Let's see. What else is going on here? They keep pausing the broadcast. It's not Facebook. I'm not being shadow banned. It is literally my internet connection is choking pretty hard here. So we're going to I'm going to see. I don't think I can even get into the phone rooms. No, it just keeps kicking me to the server. So the caller can't hear me. I'm just going to try. I'm just going to stop. No more phone calls. We'll close that. Way too many things trying to go on all at once. Hey, the stream is still up though. Patchy, but it's up. The audio-only stream is up, and of course we've got the stream for, we'll have that up on podcast later on for today. All right, so we're going to stop with the phone lines, and we'll miss, I got to go back now because Larry sent me that, is it military, what was the link, Larry? Go ahead and, you remember that, you don't remember, Larry doesn't remember, now I got to remember what the link was. It was a very interesting history of the AK. No, it's military. I'm looking in my browser history now because I can't remember. It was a military history of the AK 100. Military history, history AK 101. Oh, here it is. I think I found it. Nice. I think this is the one that I was looking at before. Okay. Keeping an eye on the time here in the background, how much time we got. Okay, we got about 2 minutes here before we return. All right. Whew. Man, even my browser now is like having a hard time. It slowed way down. It was a lot faster earlier today. All right. Come on, baby. Yeah, I can't even change browsers at this point. Can't even change browser window. I can't even check my email. Here we go. Yeah, this is the, well, this is similar to the page. But this is a seriously interesting, I'm going to talk about this. Larry brought it up, so we'll talk about it. How about that? That sounds good. All right. Will the podcast have the internet foible, says Brian? Probably not. I didn't get the first few minutes of it, but I should be able to go back and pull that off Facebook. So we'll see. Or I may have a full recording of it on my on the audio stream. We'll see what happens here, Brian. Fingers crossed. I did get almost all of John Lott's discussion this morning, so it was good stuff. Oh, hey, happy to have you guys on board. Appreciate you guys coming on, Chase. Thanks for being it. We're 20 seconds out. 20 seconds. Whew. Okay. Here we go, Game Face, ready to do it? The Michael Duke Show, common sense, liberty-based, free-thinking radio. Share the show, like this video. Why don't you like and follow the show page, man? I'm still at $32.99. What the actual heck is going on? Here we go. Right. Welcome back to the program. It is the Michael Duke Show, broadcasting live from Ammo Can Coffee down here in beautiful Soldotna. Sunshine is like right in the window. It's awesome. Feeling that warmth. It's burning a hole in my skull, but it's fantastic. It feels so good. We needed all that vitamin D. Welcome back to the program. Let's continue. One final segment here until we drop into it with our friend Willie Waffle from WaffleMovies.com for the weekend aperitif. And since Larry is here in the actual coffee shop, but he's also in the chat room. And so he messaged me in the chat room to say, why don't we talk about the AK 101, the AK 100, like we talked about. He had sent me a link here a couple weeks ago, which I found fascinating. I make it no secret that I am a AK fan. There's something about it. Just something about the plain spoken, easy to use, made. Maybe it's because it was made for the lowest common denominator. You know what I mean? The uneducated Russian peasant is what these arms were made for. But I've always liked the simplicity of the AK-47. It's not to say if you gave me an AR, I wouldn't be happy. I'm just saying. So you can give me an AR if you'd like. That's fine. I'll take it. But an AK-47 is just, I don't know, it's simple. It's serviceable. It's easy. It's and I like the cartridge. The 7.62x39, I think, is a much better cartridge than a 5.56 as far as stopping power and other things. I mean, they got pros and cons. Both of them got pros and cons. You're never going to find an AK that is as super accurate as an AR-15. There's just no way. There's no two ways about it. But there are many AR-15s you could not throw into a mud puddle, stomp up and down on, run a tank over, pick it back up, and shoot, shake it out and shoot it. There's just no way you can do it. Anyway, so the Kalashnikov has been around for a long time.
But Larry sent me an article about the AK-101, which I was not that familiar with. I had heard of it, of course, but I was not that familiar with. And I found this to be fascinating. Now, AK-47 was actually designed in 1947. That's why it's the AK-47. And it is the most widely reproduced firearm in the history of the world. It used to be the FNFAL was the right arm of the free world. Well, there are so many different AK variants out there, but the base AK is the most widely reproduced firearm in the world with, I don't know, probably a billion of them somewhere out there in the world right now. Well, the AK-101 is a new rifle in the Kalashnikov series, and I say new in terms of it was designed in 1994, so almost 50 years after the original it was designed, which puts it, what, 30 years ago? So it's the newest of the branches. What's interesting is that the AK-101 was designed to shoot the 5.56. It's designed to shoot NATO ammunition. Which I always found interesting that, you know, the Soviets were the Cold War, the Soviets were the enemy, right? And you were planning on having all these Warsaw Pact NATO conflicts on European soil or wherever you were going to have them. I always wondered, two different guns firing two different rounds, wouldn't it make sense to make a gun that fired your enemy's round so if you had found ammunition, you could use it? I always thought that was, you know, in my mind, I was, now granted, that could have, you know, if they booby trap something or something, it could be bad. But I always thought that was interesting. But this is the first one that is chambered in NATO, 5.56 NATO. So you've got the 5.56 NATO round, which, of course, the argument is it tumbles, it wounds more than it kills. It does all this. It's lighter weight. It doesn't weigh as much. And now you couple that with the reliability of a Kalashnikov, and you've got a pretty interesting weapon. They also made this in several different variants. The 101 was, again, the 5.56. Then they made the 103, which is chambered in 7.62x39. The 104 was 5.45x39, which is a smaller than NATO cartridge. It is one that they originally made for the AK-74. But this is a fascinating weapon. If you haven't had a chance and you are a fan of firearms at all, then, you know, you should go out there and take a look at how these how all these different variables on these guns. My favorite AK, for those of you who care, my favorite AK, the one that I own. I mean, I have one that I own that I like. I like AK underfolders. I like the Yugoslavian AK underfolders is what I like. But if I said you could have any AK that you want out there, I would get the Vicker. They call it the VVIKER something, the Vicker. It is a AK-47 chambered in 9mm, 9x39. So it's a 7.62 cartridge, a 30 caliber cartridge, necked up to 9mm, and it shoots a subsonic slug that has an integrated suppressor. It's used by the Russian Spetsnaz and the Special Forces. And it is, I mean, it throws like a 200 grain subsonic bullet in semi-automatic. I mean, it is a man killer. That thing is but it is the coolest design. It utilizes regular AK mags. It uses regular AK brass that's necked up to the 9mm. If I was ever going to have which one you want, that's the one I want. But if you're fascinated by firearms like I am, then this is probably one that you should go check out. All these AK variants, definitely a cool thing. And thank you to Larry for bringing this page to my attention. I was not familiar with all the different variants of the 100 series of the AK-47 line. All right, what else we got coming up here? We're running the daylight down here on today's show. We've got Willie Waffle coming up here in just a moment. But with all the technical, my phone lines, oh, by the way, I'm sorry, I made the announcement during the commercial break. I had to shut the phone lines off because my internet is, I'm having a hard time getting pages to load at this point. So we're having a hard time with that. So no phone lines for you today. But I will check my email here again in just a second, providing it doesn't crash the entire system. We'll check the emails and see what goes on there. Me at michaeldukeshow.com, me at michaeldukeshow.com. We'd love to hear from you if you want to sound off. Feel free to drop us a line. Big news coming up right now. BearingArms.com is reporting that David Chipman is, of course, still up for confirmation. He is the former anti-gun activist, former ATF agent, who is now up to be nominated as head of the BATF&E. The first Democratic senator, David Chipman is now is a no from Toomey. Pat Toomey has said no. He is a no on the gun control activist. John Hickenlooper, of course, is the Democratic senator from Colorado who put together the first universal background checks and the magazine ban back in Colorado back in 2013. It says he's unsure about how he'll vote on the nomination of David Chipman. The Wall Street Journal, though, is reporting that Hickenlooper is one of several Democrats who remain hesitant, at least on the record, for confirming Chipman. The Journal reports follow a political story earlier this week that focused on Chipman's alleged problems among moderate Democrats like Joe Manchin, Montana's John Tester, New Hampshire's Maggie Hassan. Not long after the political piece came out, however, Hassan announced that she will be supporting him. But it looks like that all 50 Republicans will stand opposed to Chipman's nomination, with Toomey declaring on Thursday he's a no. And we're going to see where this goes from here. But I think it's good news. Chipman, again, basically a anti-gun political hack who is trying to be forced into this position as the head of the ATF. This is good news for us if this continues. If all 50 stand strong and you get one or two other senators on the Democratic side who say no to him, you're definitely going to have to count him out as far as that goes right there. Me at MichaelDukeShow.com. Let me check the email right now to see what is coming up as we get ready to wind things up for this morning here. I can only work at the speed of my internet right now. We're going to try and get that up there. Me at MichaelDukeShow.com if you would like to sound off and be part of it. Firearms Friday, of course, comes in every week. You'll be able to listen on the podcast. I know some people were listening online and were like, oh, it was choppy. It was not, you know, they were listening on the stream or on the Facebook page. You'll be able to listen to the podcast later today. So if you missed anything with Dr. John Lott and all those folks, you can just go ahead and dive on over to the podcast, which is available on Spotify and CastBox, Stitcher, pretty much any of your normal podcasting channels. And that should be up later today, and it should be the full podcast. So that's where we're gonna go on this. So hopefully you'll be able to pick that up later on today. All right, email address, me at michaeldukeshow.com, but it looks like we don't have any emails for questions on Firearms Friday. So I will just take this opportunity to remind you that, look, this show is not about you and me, because we are pro-gun people. I mean, most of the people who are listening to this. Firearms Friday is about educating people who are in the middle of the road. That's what it's about. It's about reaching out to those that have never picked up a firearm, that they may not be pro-gun, they may not be anti-gun, but they may be somewhere in the middle. That's what the whole point of what we do here on Firearms Friday is about. And it is about to demystify that firearm, to teach people, you know, what truly the laws say, what the true statistics are, to try and find the truth amongst all the dross and everything else that's going on out there. That's what Firearms Friday is all about. And so as you go forth out there to try and bring more people into the gun culture, remember that not everybody's like you, and don't attack somebody for their beliefs. If they are in opposing viewpoints with you, just wash your hands, walk away, find somebody who's more, you know, moderate or median, or who just, again, maybe gun curious, or maybe is just a little pro-gun or a little anti-gun. Those are the folks that you need to deal with on this. Don't be, uh, Don't be beating people down for their beliefs, because it's like my grandfather used to say, you just don't wrestle with a pig, because you both end up covered in manure and mud, and pretty soon you figure out that the pig actually likes it. So don't do that here as we go through. All right, folks, coming up here on the break, I know we got Willie's going to be calling here in just a second, and we are going to continue with that. Want to say thank you for coming in and joining us this morning for the gun portion of the program. We've got the entertainment portion of the program coming up here in just a hot minute. Don't forget, on Monday, we're going to be diving into it again with the legislature and what's happening in the local politics. We're also maybe talking about this whole Alaska Airlines thing and the whole mask thing. I mean, that stuff's really blown up, and I'm not exactly sure where it's going, but I know it's going to be, I know it's going to be an interesting discussion. So we'll talk about that on Monday as well. It is the Michael Duke Show, Common Sense Radio.
The Michael Duke Show.
Gravy for the brain.
Okay, guys, on Facebook. Hi, how are you? Oh, this show has been a mess this morning. For the Facebook side, anyway. This show has been a mess, and it's all due to the fact that I've got super hard, I got super hard internet problems. I don't have a hard wire here. So this is, again, just more proof that my investment in Elon Musk's Starlink, which I was an initial, what do they call it, early adopter. I put the money in, and I'm supposed to be getting my Starlink uplink unit in the next 60 days. So I'm fingers crossed I'll be on Elon Musk's Starlink here so that when I go remote broadcast from different places, I'll have a hard link right to the satellite and we can enjoy this together. But right now I'm working on some Wi-Fi issues and so I'm having a hard time. I can see that the video on Facebook is just literally locked up at this point. But we'll continue to push it forward. I'm going to check in with some of the folks around here during the break, and I will be back in just a hot second. Willie Waffle should be calling in and joining us here in just a few as well. It is the Michael Duke Show, Common Sense, liberty-based, free-thinking radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with Willie here in just a minute. All right, folks, getting ready to do it here. We got Willie Waffle from WaffleMovies.com coming up here in a hot second. He's going to be joining us. We're going to be talking about the weekend movies in review and more. Make sure you, if you get a chance, come on down and see us down here at Ammo Can Coffee. We're enjoying ourselves and having a good time. Here we go, the Michael Duke Show. Common sense, liberty-based, free-thinking radio. Well, welcome back to the program. Thanks for coming in and joining us. It is Firearms Friday, your chance to sound off on issues of a two-way nature, but it is the end of the show, which means this is where we break from tradition and we try and lighten things up for the weekend. Joining me on the phone right now is the one, the only, the magnificent legend in his own mind, Willie Waffle. Hello, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I got to tell you, we've got some fun stories today. Like these are not like the cutting edge, breaking news, gonna rock the world kind of news stories. These are the little oddity news stories that I like to talk about. I think you like to talk about, and this is gonna be a fun one today.
You like the odd stuff. I will say that for sure. All right. Well, let's dive into it. News everywhere and not a drop to drink. What do we got?
We have news about James Gandolfini.
Ah.
Yes. Tony Soprano himself. And, you know, two of his former co-stars, Michael Imperioli and Steve Shripa, who are on The Sopranos, have started a podcast called Talking Sopranos. And they have lots of really cool guests, and they talk about the show, and they talk about things that happened while they were making the show. And Michael Imperioli, who you all remember as Christopher, dropped a bomb this week.
Uh-oh.
He said, a few years ago, when The Office was trying to find a replacement for Steve Carell, because Steve Carell was leaving the show,
right,
an offer was made to James Gandolfini.
from The Office? He was going to replace Steve Carell's character?
Well, he would have played the new boss, probably the Robert California character that James Spader played.
Oh, okay.
But here's the fun part. HBO heard this, and they were working on another show with Gandolfini, and they said, we'll give you $3 million to pass.
Oh, wow. It's not a bad payday for doing nothing.
That's an awesome payday. Oh, my God. Can I at least get $5 to not come on the radio? I would take it.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You better call me. I'll double that offer. I'll double that offer for you to come on. Yeah. That's crazy, man. That's absolutely crazy.
It is insane. And the thing is, the show that he was working on with them didn't even come out for a few years until after he passed away. So, it was just like the theory was that they didn't want him to be seen as anybody other than Tony Soprano.
Yeah. Well, I could see that. I mean, he was a character that you loved and hated at the same time. So I could see them trying to continue to drum up all the info and intel for an interest for Tony. So, all right. Well, that's an interesting, but I had heard about this podcast, and apparently anybody who's a Soprano lover really, really enjoys that podcast. So there must be all kinds of good stuff in there.
There's all sorts of great stuff. I've listened to it a couple of times, and I just love all the guest stars they have on who talk about what the show meant to them and their favorite parts, and
right.
And lots of the actors and actresses are like, and I tried to get on the show, but I couldn't.
Yeah, that's the thing. Everybody wants to be a guest star. Please whack me. Please, you could come and whack me. Rub me out. I'll be fine. Just bring me in for that 5 minutes of fame. It'll be amazing. All right, so that's the first piece. What else we got here? How about some Black Widow news?
Okay, let's talk Black Widow. So we've got some really big numbers. So Marvel's Black Widow becomes the biggest opener in the post-COVID world. It opened at the theaters with $80 million at the box office.
Woof.
But here's the number that's going to get you. $60 million on Disney plus $30.
Wow. So $140 million total. That's not a bad opening weekend.
That's a fantastic opening weekend. And it tells me two things. Number one, it tells me that all these streaming services, which never reveal the numbers, will reveal them when it is to their advantage.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Marvel just basically wanted to say, we know this was a $100 million opening weekend, and we want you to understand that.
Right, right. So, look at all the money we just made. Right.
Yep. Here's number two. Having your movie on streaming and in theaters on the same day, there's some advantages. It's not hurting anybody financially.
Right, right. No, $80 million weekend at the box office is still nothing to sneeze at.
No, still nothing to sneeze at. And the theater owners are the ones who are going to say, hey, we didn't sell all the popcorn and we didn't get a percentage of ticket sales. Totally agree. Totally agree. But if I'm Disney, which owns Black Widow, I got that $60 million pretty much clear. I don't have to share that with anybody.
Right.
And we got the tickets for the $80 million. So that's a pretty good deal if you're a big studio.
That's not a bad deal at all. Okay. Well, again, maybe this is the new way of the world, my friend. This might be how things go from here on in. So that's
good to see. I hope so.
All right. Well, let's talk about Carol Baskin. No, not Carol Baskin. Tiger King. Everybody was all agog about it. Of course, I've never seen it, but then I heard that Nicolas Cage was going to do something with it. We talked a little bit about that back in the day, and now I hear that I might be disappointed.
It was a heartbreaking, heartbreaking week this week. Amazon has decided not to pick up the production of a Tiger King TV series with Nicolas Cage as the Tiger King. Why have they broken my heart this way?
You're killing
this
me.
Is the one thing I've been living for, okay?
Right.
This is how I got through COVID. I want to see Nicolas Cage playing the Tiger King.
Yes, please.
And he admitted that, and it was kind of like this offhand thing. He's been doing press for a new movie, a new independent movie he made called, it was called Pig. And, he basically said, that's not really happening. Everybody went, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa.
So they're still trying to find a home for it. But I don't know where it's going to end up, man.
I guess I never will see Tiger King then, if that's the case, because I couldn't stand to watch the real thing. But I'd watch Nicolas Cage do just about anything. So it'll be fine. What else you got for me, my friend?
All right, so one quickie and one a little bit longer. Here's the quickie. A big announcement was made about the Indiana Jones Part 5 today.
Uh-oh.
Antonio Banderas is joining the cast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know what role he's going to play. They're not really being very clear about what role he's going to play. But I just love the idea of adding Antonio Banderas. That movie is getting better, baby.
Yeah, well, that's funny. I mean, it's kind of late in the whole scheme of things to be adding a new big mega, or at least past mega star, don't you think?
Well, they've got a lot of time since they can't do, they had to stop production because Harrison Ford injured his shoulder, and right. They're probably not going to pick up production again until September.
Right, right.
So they could fit him in somehow.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe, you know, who knows? What if there's a bunch of fight scenes they know Harrison Ford can't do? So they bring in Antonio Banderas to play a character who gets those scenes.
Well, that's possible, I suppose. That would be interesting to see. I wonder if it's still going to be Nazis. You know what I mean? Is it still Nazis?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I mean, I think we're moving into the 60s. I think he's going to have to fight the hippies, isn't he?
I don't know. You know, Nazis. Why did it have to be Nazis? I hate these guys. I mean, you know, maybe it's in South America and he stumbled across, you know, the Nazis who escaped. Or, I mean, I don't know. I can't even decide. But I will watch it. It's Indiana Jones. I am loyal, if nothing else. I will watch an Indiana Jones movie because, God, I remember watching those as a kid and just thinking how fantastic those movies were.
They were just the greatest movies ever.
All right.
Oh, God.
That was the short. What's the long?
The long is there's vindication for one of the Friends. Yes, the cast of Friends, all of whom but one have gotten Emmy nominations over the years since the show premiered. 25 years. All of the cast members were nominated for something except for one. And that changed this week when the Emmy nominations came out.
Oh,
Courtney
no.
Cox got her first Emmy nomination. And it was for being a producer on their HBO Max reunion show. So she kind of gets a nomination on a technicality.
I was just going to say, you think people in the Academy or whatever it is for the Emmys are like, you know, she's the only one that didn't, and she did produce this. Maybe we should give her the nod, you know?
Well, you know, the deal is that she gets, so the show got nominated for something.
Right.
Like, you know, best special or something like that. And since she's a producer, all the producers and all of the Friends cast were technically producers, all get the Emmy nominations.
Oh, man. Okay, I see. So this was kind of a pass all the way through. All right. Well, congratulations. We'll see if she gets the big win in the end or not. But, I mean, I don't know. I can't remember if I've actually said – I'm a horrible person when it comes to some of those old television. I'm just not a sitcom guy. You know, I never watched Friends.
Right.
I never watched Seinfeld. I never watched – you know, I may have seen an episode here or there when I was sitting in a hotel room or something. But I've just never – you know, it's just never been my thing. But you know what? I know they're a phenomenon. They are a powerhouse phenomenon, and more power to them. That's all I can say.
Yeah, and hey, she has one more Emmy nomination for being on TV than I did for all my time in TV.
That's true.
So I'm a little jealous.
That's true.
A little.
That's true. You still have more talent, Willie. We still love you more. There you go. So
I'm just underappreciated in my time.
All right, we're down to the last 3.5 minutes here. We got a couple movies, streams that you want to talk about. Hit me with it real quick.
Let's talk about the one that we really want to talk about, Gunpowder Milkshake, a new movie on Netflix. That's Karen Gillan, my friends. Karen Gillan from Doctor Who. Karen Gillan from the Guardians of the Galaxy. And Jumanji, who's playing an assassin. And the job has gone bad. Now she has to take care of this little kid. And she's being chased after by the biggest crime lord in town and his thousands of soldiers. And there's only one person who's going to be able to help her. Her mommy.
Her mom. I'm an assassin, mom. I need your help. Can you help me? I may have made the bad guys mad. I haven't even seen the trailer for this yet. I mean, is it, you know, of course, but I love Karen Gillan. I think she's amazing. I loved her. First saw her on Doctor Who. And then, of course, she went on to do other things, including Guardians. What say you?
I think this is a good, solid movie. I think that it's somewhat of a typical movie. Okay, like it really is trying to go for that stylistic, almost graphic novel feel. You know, it's got the really cool color palette, popping all the prime colors, which looks great.
Right.
Then you've got your stylized fight scenes, the ballets set to, you know, oddball rock music, you know, all the things that you've seen a million times before. And it, I think it kind of is a movie that gets better as it gets going, because the tone kind of changes a little bit. It's a little bit too dry early on. It's trying to be ironic and it's not funny enough. So it starts to get a little bit more serious, and we start to see almost this emerging, for lack of a better term, lady power theme breaking out as they take on all the bad guys. And it, at least it gets pretty interesting. And I agree with you. I like Karen Gillan. You know, her mother is played by Lena Headey. You've kind of heard of her. She's all right.
Yeah. Shame. Yeah. Shame. I remember her. Yeah. Well, this sounds interesting for sure. You know what? I like those kind of, like you said, kind of that comic book-esque feel. I mean, this is like very Atomic Blonde, some of these other kind of things that have really translated over well. I would love to, I'd love to watch that.
Yeah, I'm going 2.5 waffles. I think it's worth checking out. I think you're going to enjoy it. You know, I think it's one of those movies. I think I felt better about it because I watched it on Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. You didn't have to pay too much for it. In fact, you didn't have to pay anything but your subscription for it.
Didn't have to leave the house.
Yeah, didn't have to do it.
Didn't have to put on pants.
Have you have you seen the... You never put on pants. Have you seen, you admitted that last week, you watch movies in bed in your underwear. It's okay. We all admit it. Have you seen the new Mark Wahlberg Infinity movie yet?
Yes. Oh, yes, I did. I did. So, yeah, this is out on Paramount Plus.
Right.
It came out a few weeks ago, and he plays this guy who is essentially, he thinks he has mental health problems. He thinks he's schizophrenic or having hallucinations. And it turns out they're flashes from a past life.
Right. I saw this. And then he's like, some other group is like trying to draw all the immortal people together, and somebody else is trying to stop it. And he's remembering how to do all these things. And it's, I mean, it looks like an intense flick. And I dig the kind of the time travel thing. What say you?
You know, I like Gunpowder Milkshake a little bit more. I thought with Infinite, I just felt like, again, it's kind of all the stuff I've seen in these types of movies many, many, many times before.
Right.
Wahlberg is playing Mark Wahlberg. There's no real acting going on here. I was in like a 2-waffle area for Infinite. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to watch it this weekend. We'll have to see what happens. Willie Waffle, wafflemovies.com. My friend, you are the man. We will see you next week, okay?
You got it, man. We'll talk next week.
All right, folks. Thanks for coming in. Again, broadcasting live here from Ammo Can Coffee in Soldotna. Stop by and say hi to me. I'll be here for another hour or so. We'd love to see you. Until then, we will see you on Monday with more great stuff, all dealing with whatever we're dealing with. We'll see you then, folks. Have a great weekend. Okay, all my friends on Facebook, thank you guys for coming on board. We really appreciate it. We love having you in here. We will see you guys on Monday. I'll be here at Ammo Can. If you're down in Soldotna, come by and say hi. We're giving away some free beard curler coffee to a few people here. Well, whoever I feel like it. And I have it for sale if you want to buy some as well. We'll be back on Monday. Have a great weekend. Be kind. Love one another. We'll see you then.
Terrestrial radio skin, and now we are slimy lizard internet people. It's the Michael Duke Show.